I understand that some of our youth were on a climbing wall earlier this week. Any of you guys? I know you weren't with your leg in the air. That's not from the climbing wall, obviously. No. Okay. So we got a picture. Some of these guys were. There we go. Up on the climbing wall. Anybody here that was on the climbing wall? Was it your first time on the climbing wall? No, you've been there before? Anybody here that was their first time on the climbing wall? How many of you have never been on a climbing wall? How many of you would like to go on a climbing wall? Ivy, good. Okay, we're going to get you over there. Right after service, Ivy, we're going to get on a climbing wall. First time going on a climbing wall, I did that a number of years ago. I went up on a climbing wall. I thought I was not going to have any problems at all, that I'd be able to just grab and climb and away I go. After about the first three steps, I realized it's not like stepping up onto a curb or climbing stairs. This is a completely different thing. And as I got near the top, I was starting to sweat profusely and my hand slipped off. And thank you, Jesus, for the cable that was holding me, because I almost lifted the guy off the ground because I was much heavier than I am now. And it was an exciting thing. But I learned that day and climbing on the climbing wall that if I worked at it, I could probably do it. And that was an important thing for me to learn. How many of you know that if you really work at something and see something you need to work on, you can probably learn to do it, right? All right, you've done that. You've been through those kind of things in your life at different times. If you work on it, you can probably do it. This morning, I want to talk to you about those moments that we face in life. And we all have moments where we are at, I'm not going to call them crisis moments, but they're those significant moments that will determine a lot about your future. They'll determine a lot about how you are going to perceive your future, how you're going to perceive your walk with God, and how you are going to experience the things that God has for you. There are faith moments that we face regularly. Faith moments that say, what are you going to do now? How are you going to approach this? Are you going to let this overcome you? Or are you going to find a different way to deal with it? Is there anybody here this morning that's in a faith moment right now where you're looking things, you got to find, there's about three of you. The rest of you, you're not living yet. You got to start breathing in and out, because we face those things all the time. These are faith moments. These are moments where you decide, now, how am I going to deal with this? Am I going to trust God with this? Or am I going to meet this head on, knowing that God's in control? Or am I going to struggle through this thing and maybe I have no idea what's going to come out? And that's really the difference between faith and fear. We face things either with faith or we face them with fear. Fear consumes you. Faith should also consume you, but consumes you from the inside out. Faith consumes you from the outside in. This circumstance is overwhelming me. Faith says, my God is overwhelming my circumstance. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. The reality of God's grace and goodness to face things, help us to face things head on in the way that we need to. Helen Keller, who many of you know of, was born blind and deaf and could not speak. And through a series of events in her life, she was able to learn to communicate with the help of a very strong and stubborn woman who stood by her and got her through it and was able to teach her how to speak and how to communicate. And all of a sudden, her world opened up when she learned how to do that. One of the things that Helen Keller communicated late in her life was this. She said, life is either a daring adventure or it's nothing at all. It's either a daring adventure or nothing at all. Well, faith is much the same way. Faith is a daring adventure or it's nothing at all. There are times in our lives when we must come up into things where we need to see by faith how to overcome them. And those things are now going to be a bit of an adventure for us because we've not been there before. We've not done things like that by faith before. We've not been through those things by faith before. We've not struggled through those things in the same way before. And so now we got to learn and we got to get through them and we got to press through them. And sometimes that can be very nerve-wracking. It can be very difficult if you've not taken that step of faith in something before and you don't know the answer to that. And you're going, will God really help me? Will he be there? Can I trust him? And you have all those pieces going on in it. And it's this daring adventure sometimes that we need to be on that takes us from where we are, that causes us to grow. And those moments when we face that are those moments that define how you are going to face your future. Because they're lessons that God wants to teach us. And we must remember that everything God teaches us is just not for us, it's for someone else. So when God teaches you a lesson about faith to go through something, he's teaching you that so that you can go through it better next time, but he's also teaching you that so that when someone else you know faces the same situation, you can go, hey, let me tell you what I learned and what I know. Let me walk with you through this process and help you understand what God wants to do. I want to give you some answers that will give you where you're going and what you want to do. To look at this process this morning, we're going to go back. We'll give you, talk about probably one of, if it's not the most famous story in the Bible, it is one of the most famous stories in the Bible. It's about a little boy with a slingshot and a great big guy with a sword. Good old David and Goliath. So we're going to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you have your Bibles with you, could you turn there this morning? 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm going to start reading in verse 8. Just to set it up a bit for you, David had been home with his dad. His brothers were out with the army with King Saul. They were fighting the Philistines. Well, they weren't really fighting the Philistines. They were on opposite sides of this valley. And basically, they would yell at each other. Ah! And then they go, yeah! And they would yell and rattle their swords. But no fighting was going on. It was just like a lot of noise back and forth between these guys going on for quite a few days. And finally, the Philistines sent out their giant, Goliath. He was a big dude. Big, strong, ugly. Sword, spear, shield. He actually had a guy carry his shield for him. Okay, just imagine being big enough that you get a guy to carry your shield for you. What's your job? I carry the shield. Yeah, okay, that's what you do. So Goliath had this guy who was carrying the shield out for him. And Goliath would walk out in the middle of the valley and he would bellow out, send me your best warrior and we will fight. And whoever wins will be conqueror of the other. And whoever loses will be slaves to those who conquer. And he would do this day after day, after day, after day, after day. King Saul was sitting there on the side. He was there with the army of Israel, listening to this Philistine giant come out and yell at him. And as he was yelling at him, they were shaking in their boots. Have you ever been put into abject fear by words? We all have. It all can cause us shakes, especially when we see the big dude yelling at us sometimes. It can cause us fear. But here is Saul, the king, who should have been the one to go out and do battle with Goliath, or at least him to take one of his generals to send him on out there. But nobody would go. They just sort of stood there and they shook and they didn't say a whole lot. And I think most of the army, they said, oh, here comes Goliath. I'm just going to go hide over here. And they went and stood out to the side just trying to keep away. They didn't want the king to catch. They didn't want to catch the king's eye, because if they looked up at the king like this, he'd go, hey, you, go fight him. You know, it'd be something like that. They don't want that to happen. And Goliath would come out and bellow day after day after day. And David, who was home with his father, got sent lunch. Take lunch to your brothers. So David came out to take lunch to his brothers, just as Goliath appeared. David was still a boy. He'd been out with a shepherd in the field looking after sheep. Goliath came out and bellowed, gave the same message. David said, what is this? Who's this guy? What's this guy think he's doing? Doesn't he know he's coming up against the God of Israel, the God who is God? Doesn't he know he's not just fighting you, us? He's coming up against God. It's not, listen, Saul, guys, generals, listen. This is not a challenge to you. This is a challenge to God. And he is saying that your God will not give you what you need to win this battle. He's saying he's bigger and uglier and tougher than your God to win this battle. He's saying that there's nothing you can do or be to win this battle because there's nothing in you that can do it. He knows he's physically bigger than you, but he's also saying even those of you who are smaller haven't got the guts or the reality of the power of your God to come and face me. And David says, how dare he do that? So David decided to go out. David wound up going out with what he could fight with best, rocks and a sling. We pick up the story in verse 42. He, this is Goliath, looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy. Pardon me, verse 13, verse 30. Try 17, verse 8. One of those faith moments, you know, where I have to make the word work no matter what. That's what you do. Sometimes when you're preaching, you do that. You get up and you read the wrong scripture. Now I got to make it work. Let's get the right scripture, though. 1 Samuel 17, verse 8. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he's able to fight me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become your subjects to us. And the Philistine said, this day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. Over in chapter 17, verse 42, he looked at David and saw that he was a little more than a boy, glowing in health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come out at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. We'll get to the rest of it in just a moment. David, going out to fight battle. This one man, this Goliath, who was screaming and yelling and causing problems all the way along. He was this giant that was out there before the people, and he was saying, I am going to destroy you. The giants that we face in our lives, the obstacles that we must overcome, those faith moments come, and sometimes they really get us because we think it's going to be something that will destroy us. We think that the worst thing is going to happen. We think that I'm not going to be able to get through this, or what's going to happen to my business, or what's going to happen to my home, or what's going to happen to my family, what's going to happen to my health. What's going to happen? And we automatically go to the worst case scenario in all of those instances. We automatically start to see that there's in our minds that there's nothing that can come out of this that is going to be right or strong or anything else. And Goliath's greatest weapon at that point in time was just his weapon of words that are coming against the people. Verse 11 said this, on hearing the Philistines' words, Paul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. That word dismayed there is the word katha. It's the same word in the Hebrew that means to have a nervous breakdown. They weren't just, oh, I'm so dismayed. No, they were freaking out. They were having this nervous breakdown because look what's going to happen, and then look what's going to take place. And what they had forgotten was that a long time ago, God had prepared them for exactly this kind of problem. God had given to them an answer for exactly this kind of problem as they were going through. When they were first going into the promised land, and when they got into the promised land, the same message he gave them back in Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 1. It says, when you go to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, because the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, will be with you. Do not be afraid of them. But that's when we get the yabuts, right? You ever had the yabuts? We go, yeah, but you know, yeah, but what about this? But yeah, but this is different. This is a big problem. This is not a little. This is a big problem. This is something that if I don't get a hold of right now, and I don't understand right now that this is really not where I want to go or what I want to do. This is a big problem. And God, you got to come and you got to change this thing. You got to change this thing right now. You got to come in because I don't know what I'm going to do. And we let that overwhelming kind of and just fear, and we're reaching out to God. At least we think we're reaching out to God, but most of the time we're just complaining to God. We say, God, why don't you change it? That's usually when we pray, God, strike him with a lightning bolt, right? Instead of us having to face a situation like that, we want God to go, pow! Hey, it's fixed. I love it. And that's what we're wanting most of the time. It's that lightning bolt from God. I'm not going to ask if you've ever wanted God to lightning bolt somebody. Because I know you would all be really good Christians and say no. I have. And then I repented. But we want God to do that. We want God to come along because we're filled with this fear of what's happening. And that God had prepared them and says, listen, 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 listen. I've told you before. I told you before. They'd been in the same kind of situation before, back in Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13, verse 30, when Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. I can't do that. That's the government. Can't do that. I've seen the x-rays. I can't go against that. I've seen the x-rays. I can't stand up for what's right in this because it's the law. I can't change that person. I can't change that. Lord, I've tried to resolve that relationship. I've tried. God, if you just change them, everything would be real good. The men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we. And these men spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. How can I ever make a difference? Some of those battles that we face are challenges to make the difference that we need to get into. These hurdles, this wall we need to climb, this giant that we need to defeat, this challenge that's before us. We have a choice to stay back or to move ahead. We have a choice to say, okay, God, I'm going to move into this battle and see what you can do. I'm going to let you lead me in this. Or we can just go, God, zap him with a lightning bolt. Basically say, I'm going to stay out of this. Zap him with a lightning bolt. And God comes along and he says, we need to be able to get going and understand that our actions follow our beliefs. Our actions follow our beliefs. What you believe, you will start to do. If you don't believe it, you won't do it. So what do you believe about God? The men of Israel right now, the army of Israel, was sitting back and they were going, ah, they're freaking out because they didn't believe God could do anything about it. They were letting themselves be overwhelmed because they didn't believe God could do anything. They were in this place of having a nervous breakdown because they didn't believe God could do anything about it. Matthew chapter 12, verse 35. Starting in verse 33. make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. You brood of vipers. How can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Ooh, you got that? The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. If you're speaking fear, it's because your heart's full of fear. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Your actions follow your beliefs. Your actions will cause you to go towards where God wants you to go. Your actions will cause you to do that or to pull back. And it comes from what you believe inside. What are you going to do when you face those challenges? What are you going to do when you have those moments in your life to say, here's a challenge for you. What are you going to do with that challenge? What are you going to do with that, about that tax bill that just arrived? What are you going to do about that medical report? What are you going to do about the car that needs a repair that all of a sudden? What are you going to do about the new noisy neighbors and their 12 attack dogs who never stop barking? What are you going to do? Fear? We have our giants. We all have our own giants. About a year and a half, just over a year ago, I shared with you about a time that I had in the fall of 2017 where I went into this deep, dark place in my life. Just terrible depression. And process, and that God took me through that process and dealing with that and pulled me beautifully and miraculously out of it. God is good. God is good. I want to tell any of you that if you're dealing with depression, whatever, God is good. He can be there and He will help you and He will guide you and He will pull you out of it. But one of the things I learned that helped me the most was I learned that I was sitting in this place here and I was crying out to God and I was getting angry because I wasn't hearing Him, which made me more depressed. And I got depressed about being depressed and wound up in this place over here. And I realized, and someone was talking with me and helping me, and they said, and I began to realize and to sense God's here with me. But what I was missing was that although God was very much here with me, and I'd not sensed it, but I began to realize the truth of it. The reason I didn't sense it is because I really didn't want Him to move me out of it at that point in time. I wanted Him to be here and to suffer with me. Does that make any sense to you? I wanted Him here in my suffering. I wanted Him here where I was. And so much of my prayers were, God, I want You on my side over here. And He said, okay, I will come to your side over here, but I'm not going to leave you there. If you really want Me to work, I need to take you out of there. I will give you comfort where you are. I will help you where you are. But you can't stay there. And I'm still praying, Lord, meet me here. I need You over here. I need You on my side. I need You on my side. And God says, I am on your side. But if I'm on your side now, you got to get on my side. Because my side is what will get you out of there. My side is what will move you beyond where you are right now. My side, He says, will get you to the place of understanding. My side will bring you to that place of healing. My side will bring you out of that place of darkness. If you start to look at where you are and you know that there is now this wall that needs to be climbed in front of you, this giant that you need to take down, this obstacle that's in before you. And this is that moment of challenge and faith and action that you must take. This is the place that you are in. And if you want to go from here to here, you got to start moving in God's side to where he wants you to be, and to be able to take steps of faith that sometimes are really uncomfortable and really awkward. And sometimes you really don't feel like doing them. But in order to get to where God wants you to be, sometimes you gotta move. And I learned that in many areas of my prayer life, I'm praying God, get to my side, to think about things my way. But my prayer life needs to be, God, I need to think about things your way. And that's one of the most significant lessons I learned in all of that. And now that's something that I can share with you. Because what he taught me was not just for me. What he taught me was to share it out. And that's the process God takes us through. Where you are, you're up against that wall right now. You got to climb that wall. You got that giant you got to take down. First things you got to do, God, help me to see this as you see it. God, get me on your side of this. God, lift me out of my agony, my pain, my focus. God, let me see it like you see it. Let me get on your side of this. Because your perspective of this problem is a whole lot different than mine is. Your perspective is a whole lot wider open than all of that. God, I need you to move me to that place. And he says, yeah, you know, I'm going to move you to that place. But you got to move. You got to move. I was sort of hoping, there's been times I was hoping God would pick me up by the scruff of the neck and just sort of carry me over. Okay, God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Show me, will you? God, we want God to do that. He doesn't work like that. But he does give us his word and say, here's the truth. And he does say, come to me and know me, and I will show you who I am, and I will give you what you need to get from where you are to where you need to be. But you have to move from where you are to where you need to be. You've got to take the steps to start to go that way to get there. He's not going to drag you kicking and screaming from where you are to where you need to be, but he will tell you and speak to you and show you truth that will help you to move that direction, to bring life back into you, so that all of a sudden you see things so totally differently than where they were. And the Bible is full of people who had that same problem, who went through that same process, where they were stuck where they were. They were fighting a battle. They had things overcome them and overwhelm them. They had fears. They had worries. They had all that stuff that was constantly coming against them. They had walls to climb. They had walls to knock down. They had giants to knock down. They had all of these things going on in their lives. And yet they had to get on God's side of the problem. God, what do you want me to do? I'm going to march around that city for seven days. This is a big walled city. That's what you want to do? Yeah, that's what I want you to do. And then I want you to shout. Like, yay? Yeah, like, yay. And God said, I will give you the victory. David. David. Back in chapter 17, picking it up in verse 45. David said to the Philistine, Phil? I obviously thought that was funnier than you did. That was right. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. Right there. There's the switch. King Saul and the army of Israel were over here going, oh man, he's big, he's ugly, he's strong, he's going to kill somebody. We're just, you know, we're not going to make it. The people of Israel, before they went in the promised land, we're just like grasshoppers in their sight. We can't do anything. We can't overcome any of this. And David goes out there, I'm not coming. Hey, you great, big, ugly Philistine. Listen up. You come against me with that stinking little spear and that little wee guy carrying that piece of metal in front of you, and you think that's going to stop the God Almighty who created the universe, who loves me as his very own child, who has told me that he is with me and he will protect me and he will guide me? Hey, you think you have got something on me and my God? You have got nothing. And he went, and it says he ran out to face it. He didn't sort of sneak out at Goliath. He ran out at it. There's things that you need to run at. There's things that you need to run at. You don't need to shy away from them. You need to run to them. You need to run to them. Believe me, I know. We've been in the place in our lives where we don't answer the phone, not when they had call display. We don't answer the phone because we don't want to hear the bill collector at the other end of the line. Anybody else? Everybody? You don't have to raise your hand. You've been there? We've been there. You run away from it. Maybe this is a guy thing. I think this is more a guy thing than a women thing. We don't want to go to the doctor because we're afraid he might say something we don't want to hear. It's like, if I don't know I'm sick, then I'm okay. Wives are doing this. I see it. Okay. If I don't know I'm sick, then I'm okay. So I don't want to go to the doctor because I don't want him to tell me that I'm sick. I don't want to open the mail because I don't want to read what's in there. No. David ran to the problem and faced it head on. And he said, listen, problem? Let me tell you something. See, this was not about David and Goliath. This was about God. This was about God and God's promises. This had really very little to do with David and Goliath. David and Goliath are sort of the illustration in real life of what God's promises are about. And David ran to him. He said, I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the Lord of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. Not, I'm going to take you down, big boy. My God's bigger than you by a whole lot. He's going to take care of you. The Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground with a mighty thud. That's my translation. David ran into that. What happened here? There was the roar of the giant. Big bag of wind. Got that? The roar of the giant. The roar of the giant was a big bag of wind. The heart of David. He went out and rocked Goliath's world. I can tell you, a bag of rocks will be a bag of wind every time. when God's involved. David went out there and declared the goodness of God. David went out there and said, this is God's battle. David went out there and said, Goliath, you have no right to challenge me and my God. You have no right to do this. I am a child of God. We need to begin to understand and get a hold of it in our lives that we are children of God. Absolutely, positively, 100% children of God. And he cares about each one of us. And I tell you this morning that when you are up against a wall that must be climbed, a giant that must be got knocked out of the way, a mountain that must be moved, a problem that you do not have the answer for, the way to deal with that is to get onto God's side and let God start to work in you to know how to deal with that problem. And he will help you. He will take you from that fear to the faith that you need to have. And that is that one of those moments. Once you do that once, the next time that moment like that comes along, you'll be able to have the same, hey, I saw God do it. I know it now and I can do it again. God did it before. He can do it again. And the next time, God can do it again. He can do it again. And our faith grows and grows and grows and grows. But let me tell you this, the opposite is also true. If you come up to one of those moments and you choose fear over faith, you'll still have fear next time. And if you have fear next time, you're now developing a habit of fear. And the longer you live like that, the harder the habit is to break. Anybody want to break a habit of fear this morning? Anybody want to get on the faith side? Here's what God says. Genesis 26, verse 24. The night before, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the God of your father, Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and I will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant, Abraham. Do not be afraid. I love Isaiah 43:19. I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I'm doing a new thing. When you start to get on God's side, he starts to do a new thing in you. A new thing. I used to be afraid. I'm not anymore. You're not anymore? No. Why? Because God did a new thing. He's doing a new thing. But you're old. Shut up. I'm never too old for a new thing. And I want God to do a new thing. I need God to do a new thing. He says, now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you not see it when it's new? When you start to take faith and God starts to work and you see, you find a peace and a strength. He's saying, okay, now you're doing, this is new for you. Do you understand what's going on? Yeah. That's a new thing. He goes, yeah. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Come to me. Come to me. Don't sit over here in this place. God, I want you to come and just sort of be here with me. Just be here with me. And he comes and is there with you. But and he says, now we got to move. You go, but no, just be here with me. Just be here with me. No, you got to move. I want you to be here with me in this place where I am not comfortable. I am not resting. I'm uptight and I'm anxious. Be here in the middle of this. He says, okay, I will come and I will be there with you. But in order to find the rest that you need, you got to move. You can't stay there and find the rest. Your mind has got to change. Your actions have got to change. What's understanding inside of you has got to change. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. if you don't believe what the Lord says about you, you will believe what the enemy says about you. Can we have the last slide? The giant in front of you is never bigger than the God who lives in you. We got a great big God. In perspective, little bitty problems. I'm not minimizing the problems. Do not misunderstand me. I'm just comparing them to the greatness and power of our God. The greatness and the power of our God. The goodness of our God. His faith. Faith in Him that we have allows Him to work. And we must recognize those moments in the adventure of life and be willing to take steps outside of the norm for us. Take steps outside of our comfort zones of how we always have reacted. We must do this in order to grow. We must. We're going to partake of communion this morning in just a moment. Before we do, I'm going to ask you to stand. Communion is a tremendous opportunity to recognize a commitment to God. Our commitment to God. Essentially, it's God's commitment to us that we see and that we know. But it's also, as we partake in the communion, we are also saying, Father, we are committing ourselves to you. This is a covenant thing that's going on with communion. And Lord, I want to get on your side of these things in my life. I want to see these problems, these giants, these walls, these situations. I want to see them. I want to see them like you see them. I don't want to stay where I was anymore. I want to stay sitting back and suffering. I don't want to be overwhelmed with fear. I don't want to be overwhelmed with uncertainty. I don't want to have a nervous breakdown. I don't want to go into deep depression. I don't want that. What I want, God, is I want to see it as you see it. And it's essential that we take that step. So as we prepare for communion, I challenge you this morning, as the scripture says, to examine yourselves. Not in sense of your worthiness as a Christian before God, but examine yourselves this morning in terms of how big is your God compared to your problems. What are you struggling with right now? What is the fear in your life right now? What's that weight that you're carrying right now? And are you willing to make a decision this morning that says, I'm leaving my place of letting it control me and my emotions and my life? God, I want to take a step. I know it's going to be hard. I know I'm going to have to learn along the way, and I'll probably make some mistakes in it. But God, I want to take the step this morning to move that will take me from this place where I am suffering in this thing of life with these decisions. But I want to take the moment now. I want to seize the moment and be able to move and say, I'm making a change. I want to now see it as you see it. I want to get on your side of this problem. I want to get on your side of this situation. I want to be where you want me to be in this. And instead of me trying to get you where I want you to be in this, are you willing to do that this morning? I challenge you. I challenge you sincerely, deeply, to take that step. I want to ask that we pray together before we come in. Would you please just bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're willing to say, I need to take that step this morning, I need to get a hold of this moment and see it as God sees it. As we pray, I want to pray for you. Would you just lift your hand as we pray? Say, God, that's me. I need to do that this morning. I need to take that step. Just lift your hand. Come on, lift it. Keep them up. Keep them up. Okay? Lord, you see us this morning with our hands standing here before you raised because, God, we've been letting the stuff get at us. We've been letting it cause us fear. We've been depressed. We've been afraid. We've been worried to excess. We've lost sleep. We've been distracted because of the situations that we are facing. And Lord, right now, as we raise our hands to you, we are saying, Dear God, we want to get on your side of these problems. And so, Father, now we face them before you and we say, God, you are the God who will help us. And we ask now that you give us a new understanding of what is happening and that, Lord, we begin to see this new thing that you are doing in us. We see it in a new way. We see the new actions. We see the new answers that we need before you, that God, you are changing it right now. And you're changing it in our hearts and in our minds. We are moving from where we were over to your side. And now, Lord, we're seeing it from a different way. And we know that, God, you can make this difference this morning. We commit ourselves to you by raising our hands to you. Say, Lord, this is my desire and my commitment to make this change. Father, honor it now. Seal it in us, Lord. Cause there to be new ideas. Cause there to be peace. Cause there be a welling up of faith that you've got it in control, that we can trust you in the midst of it all. Cause there to be strength that we're not ever having before, where there was weakness and we were feeling vulnerable and hurt. Father, let there be healing and strength now in the name of Jesus. Seal it in the name of Jesus. Seal it now, Father, by your word and by your promises that we can experience the fullness and the goodness of your power in our life in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Isn't God good? Isn't that God good? Can you give him a hand clap this morning? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to have communion. The teams could come who are serving communion this morning. I'm going to ask that you come down. I'm going to ask that you do it a bit different. That you know, normally you come down, you take the bread and you take the juice and you eat the bread here and take the juice back. I'm going to ask that you take both back, please, this morning. Why don't you do them together, okay? So this morning, just for something different, I know I'm a troublemaker. I do it that way. But if you could do that today, come down and take the bread and the juice. Go back to your seats, and then we'll take them together as we go through, okay? God bless you as we partake together. elements of communion are meant to, the elements of communion are meant to represent the new covenant. This represents Christ's body that was broken for us. This represents his blood that was shed for us. It's not just something we just do in church. This is not just a church thing. If we let it become just a tradition, it becomes meaningless. And when traditions become meaningless, there's absolutely no impact, no significance to them. This is not about tradition. This is about a recognition of what was given to you and me. This is about recognition of the price that was paid so that we can have a relationship with God and we can have him with us throughout all of our lives. And when we're facing our mountains and our giants and our walls, the price he paid is represented by this. Huge. God came to earth and allowed himself a horrible, horrible death so that you and I could have that relationship. It's huge. So as we come to this time now, we recognize the importance of it. Not just, this is what we do the first Sunday of the month. There's an importance here in what we're doing. Because this represents him, and as we partake of it, we are actually saying, I'm a part of this relationship with you. I'm a part of this commitment. And God, I want to be all that you want me to be. I want you to do in me everything that needs to be done. Because I'm taking you in these symbols into me. On the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The same manner also, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood, which is the new covenant." A covenant that cannot be broken. A covenant that is eternal. A covenant that changes everything. We take it today in remembrance and in thanksgiving for who he is and what he's done. Let's drink together. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you, Jesus, for coming and for giving your life on that cross, because you wanted us to be able to have access through you to God and to heaven and to all the power there is of God. So that we can say, when things come against us, you don't just come against us, you come against my God. We can rely on you. You're with us. And that's amazing. That's amazing. And Lord, we worship you and we thank you for all that you've given us. We thank you for all that you've done and are doing. We thank you, Lord, that when we put that faith and trust in you, that you will give us the hope and the strength and the peace that we need. Seal your word in every way today. Let your blessing be on us and your strength be with us. May your grace and power go with us beyond these walls as we go home into our workplaces, into our neighborhoods. Let the joy of the Holy Spirit within us guide us and strengthen us. May we bring peace where we go. May we have words of wisdom when they are needed. And Lord, may we see the opportunities you open up before us every day to impact somebody else for you. And bless us and guide us in it all, we pray, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a fabulously blessed week. God bless you.